gotta be f***ing triceps, biceps, arceps, hard.
Hard.
Greek f***ing underground gay porn, hard.
There's so many reasons I hate the live shows, Howard.
What's the biggest one?
Well, I think first of all, I'm always afraid of being blown away by the power of my lead-in show, Sue Bartholomew. Just a juggernaut of entertainment, that woman.
Oh my gosh.
We've got our lovely PSAs, the station spots too. I like that that train spotting ad that they have, just the pinnacle of timeliness. You know, I mean, why don't we just have some Love Boat parodies in there while we're at it?
Hey, did you watch the opening ceremonies?
No, I don't care about the Olympics, Howard. I'm not going to pretend I care about the Olympics. Pretty much any sport in the Olympics, I don't care. So, no, I saw they wheeled out Paul McCartney.
Yeah, it's absolutely un-American of you to diss team handball. I gotta say, that's one of those sports where I wait every 4 years with bated breath.
If we want to talk Summer Olympics, you've got the broads and bikinis for whatever, I guess, volleyball. I don't know what other sports. They pretty much just dress them up like Scores waitresses. But
this is not going to entice you anymore to watch this year, but they're saying that it's cold enough in London that the beach volleyball women are going to have to wear something besides bikinis. It's just going to be too cold, probably.
What, like those like 1900 Ellis Island old-timy parasol
it's
things?
It's effectively going to feel that way. I mean, it's going to be bad. It's just going to defy the spirit of women's volleyball.
Yeah, women's volleyball is all about women built like greyhounds with B cups and nipples like shotgun rounds. Like, that's what that is to me. If they want to get away from the spirit of that sport, I've got no interest.
Yeah, no, like, this Olympics is dead to you. I'm sorry.
Well, literally the 30 seconds I saw, I walked in my house about 1:30 yesterday. And by my house, I mean my mom's house, because she was up watching the Olympics. And McCartney was out. And I don't know what age men start to look like old lesbians, but he got there like 5 years ago. And he waved goodbye to it. And he's just down that highway now, several miles. Or kilometers, as his people would say. You're listening to another episode of Papa's Basement. I'm your host, John Papa Giorgio. With me today, you've heard Howard. We've also got a special guest in studio, my friend, both of our friends, Shahir from back in the day. Shahir's just kind of chilling out, and he's got a live mic if he wants to use it. His headphones are working, I think, too. Right now, he's just kind of pensively stroking. He's clean shaven, but where a soul patch would be, he's playing with that area.
I mean, how long has it been since you last seen him? It's been a few years, hasn't it?
So. Shahir went to the smart kid high school that I dropped out of in 9 weeks. And there was a 5-year reunion.
Which you attended.
For that. Yeah, back in 2004. Yeah. And I think I saw Shahir at that. I don't know why I went to that exactly.
Kalium drug you along. I remember
pretty
this.
Much. Yeah. Yeah. That is what happened. But in my own head, like, it wouldn't have been something that came to me naturally. But there had to be an idea in the back of my head that, like, something was going to happen with a woman if I went there. Like, I'm trying to remember. I think...
Yeah. That sounds like you.
I was under the impression, like, at least one girl, if not three or four, would walk up and be like, I spent all of high school trying to place where you went. Your face has not haunted my dreams. That sounds scary, but just, like, filled with, like, hope and desire.
Would you now make it the sex with me?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, and she'd be real romantic about it. She's like, there's a real nice turlet down the hall that doesn't smell too bad. Just do things to me. Just fill me up. Fill me up with your underachievement. So that's why I went. Oddly enough, none of that happened. Although I will say this about the girls from the Super Smart Kid High School. A lot of them turned out decently. I guess they needed, Shahir's nodding, like, they needed 5-10 years away from taking Algebra 2 at age 8.
Yeah.
To figure out what makeup goes where and you know, the proper geometry for a push-up bra. I don't know, but they pulled it off, and I was like, Christ, I went to the dumb kid school, and the girls don't look all that much better. So maybe I blew things by leaving this.
There's something to be said for sororities, because I think the whole system is based on we take relatively unattractive smart girls who basically teach everybody else in sorority how to like fake through their exams, and we'll help them look less like hideous. I think that's one of the deals that's often made at the sororities.
See, I didn't think there was a token smart girl at any given sorority. I thought you just had like the smart ugly girl sorority, maybe a fat sorority, and then like two or three whore sororities. And like those are the ones everyone wanted to party with because they have a PhD in going down.
Yeah, no, this is all an accurate representation as well.
Yeah, I didn't think like the whore sorority had the one girl that looked like Jeanette from the Chipmunks.
Well, no, it doesn't have to be that
bad. Pulling out glasses and being like, well, hey, let me help you with your American history
or just,
whatever.
Here's the substantially less attractive girl who is going to help us with our homework, and she's going to build like our base of tests that it's like the test bank. All the frats and sororities have test banks. So like they basically just file away everything that you ever need.
Is that real? Like I thought that was made up for Animal House.
No,
like,
they do that at
hunting for lithographs or whatever in the trash.
No, like what they I'm trying to remember how this works. They actually like occasionally will like they used to do this at UT. So when I was at Texas, there were a couple frats known for just having a kid who takes a class, doesn't actually try, just like copies all the questions, they take it back to the frat, and then like for future kids who take that class, they have the actual test questions.
Why was I such like a little anti-frat dick? Why did I have such prejudice in my heart? I mean, it's just one of those things where I guess I'm afraid of buddying up, networking, everything that could get me ahead of in life. Like, I just want to go home and look at porn and be alone.
Yeah, no, I was anti-frat when I was 18 as well. But I've had a good number of
friends. Well, everyone I know who's done that gets like just falls into decent jobs. Like it can't be easy enough for them as soon as they get out of it. And why? Because like for a month you took a barbed wire enema and ate dog food. I'll do that for a month. I'll do it for 2 months.
I mean, yeah.
I do it like on a spiritual level on a daily basis for the past decade. I'll do it for like 1 month in the flesh to move on with my life.
Yeah, although I got to say, you're a bit of an individual-minded person. I think you would have lost a lot of that had you been of the mindset of, like, these are my bros. Whatever they say, I do.
Yeah, I just hate most people. Like, I don't want to be paired up with them. Like, even I turn quickly enough on people that I choose to have in my life where I'm just like, you like what movie? Get the F out.
Yeah.
Out of my house now. And to think I would have to say I liked people just because they pay to be part of the same thing as me, that really blows my mind. I think you're onto something there. I probably couldn't have handled it.
Yeah, I had to come into it later in life. Like, I do a lot of inane networking now. And it's soulless. But last night, I was privy to the opportunity to network with some fine young women in downtown Arlington. So that was actually a nice use of the skills that I thought were only useful in a professional context. Apparently it also works.
No, as long as you can talk and A, remember a woman's name, and like B, keep your eyes away from her cleavage like more than 30% of the time, and
yeah,
I don't know, C, don't have an obvious visible erection, like you're gonna do okay.
It is disappointing that I did not figure this out till I was 30. That's the only thing that is strange to me, where it's like, wow.
A lot of smart guys are behind the curve when it comes to women because you're smart enough to be nervous about it to begin with.
Yeah, like learning not to look at someone's cleavage. Like that took, yeah, decades. Literally decades.
Okay, see, I figured that one out. Like I wouldn't even make, like when I was younger, eye contact with a woman. Like they would talk to me and it was like for them Stevie Wonder was talking to them. It was just like eyes darting around. Like, I can't tell you how many girls were like, why aren't you looking at me? And I'd just be like, whatever. There's cooler things to look at, babe. Stuck up bitch. I didn't really know how to recover from that. So now I just kind of, it's a fine art where you just look at eyes, look at cheek, look at nose. I don't know. Keep your eyes moving. You don't want to also be the guy who like stares them dead on through their pupils where it's like, I can see your soul and will make you drink my urine. You don't want to scare them with your intensity. There's a fine line. Tara's just nodding. Like, yes, I learned to walk it 6 weeks ago.
But yeah, no, I had a good time last night. So a little hungover today if my voice sounds a little strange.
You sound good.
All right.
There's a potence to your voice.
Okay, good.
Women know that you could sire a child with them.
Yeah,
strength
nah,
your vocal
I
cords.
I appreciate that.
Your seed flows strong.
Actually, so I was informed last night that it is good that I am not bald. Like, apparently it is better to be 40 with hair than 30 and bald.
God. Like, this is a sticky wicket. We've covered it on the show before, but...
A woman told me this yesterday. A woman actually said this to me.
I am always up for rehashing the bald talk. It's near and dear to my heart. I'm on pills that give me tits, pretty much, and the libido of a neutered cat, because I keep my hair. I'm on the Propecia.
Yeah, no, see, I was defending your honor.
We got the Rogaine, too, yeah.
I was trying to say, like, for dudes who can shave their... Actually, I'm not really defending yours. There's some people out in the world, though, who we both know that shave their heads that look good bald.
Yeah.
Like, if you go with the clean, like, Mr. Clean look,
uh-huh.
I think that's fine.
See, I would never even be able to do that because I'm not the best at, like, hair grooming, I suppose. So I would, at best, look like Bruce Willis, like where it's bald but with stubble, and at worst I just like some mangy cancer patient who just really was depressed and like has like half an eyebrow missing, just like one temple's gone, and he's like, whatever, I'm gonna die anyways, who cares, he's gonna suck my cancerous D. So I don't know, it's a catch-22 because I'm really sure that eating this crap, taking the Rogaine, gives me like a womanly hips and bosoms type thing.
Right.
And therefore, if I shaved my head, like, you can't be a fat shaved head dude. You have to be muscular.
You do.
With
yeah.
a shaved head.
Because Will just has that.
Will, like, at least is like thin and stuff. And he can pull it off. Will needs a tan.
Does he have an 8-pack? Is that what he does? I haven't.
Will's probably got like outside lines of abs, like the hint of abs. I don't think Will has actual definition or anything. I mean, if I would think if you had a 6 or 8 pack, why would you wear a shirt? I would walk around like just in various village person costumes, like an open Indian vest, the cop's jacket open, the naval jacket open. You can see where I'm going. Everything would have buttons down the middle and they would not be used. Same thing, like, if I had a huge cut, like, I just would either be in the tightest white pants and, like, spilling things on myself nonstop, or a kilt that's, like, ended at my navel, and I just do the Sharon Stone from Basic Instinct nonstop. Just my, you know.
That would make the show so much more
entertaining. My kielbasa and my potatoes just resting on the seat. But, so I don't think Will has a 6-pack.
All right.
He's close, though. He's closer than me. We'll give him that. If we're grading on a curve, he's further ahead on that little humpy lump than me. But where were we going with any of this? To get metaphysical.
Crap.
To get deep.
Oh, I think we just hit a pause. Maybe we should go to the prepared material.
I'm always a fan of the 4-minute outline I come up with as I email it to myself on the drive-in. I've been watching a lot of HBO Go films lately. Are you familiar with this?
I am not actually sure what you're talking about.
This is me kind of like cementing myself on being at the forefront of nerds staying in technology. Like, it's been Netflix for several years for the people that are just like A, in a relationship and don't care anymore, or B, they're nerds and they're like, screw it, what am I going to gain going out? I just want to watch, you know. Hell, I watched Buffy 6 years ago, but maybe there's a deeper meaning I missed out on. Yeah. Let's crush all 146 hours worth of that show again. God damn it, there's a caller. I mean, hello, caller. We welcome your presence on Papa's Basement.
Let's punch him through.
Are you through, caller? We put you through our vigorous screening process that wasn't just, hey, woman, what's up?
Well, I was listening.
This is my mom, everybody, Maria.
Hello. Guys.
Hi.
I think you have forgotten a rather impressive male who was bald and husky. Telly Savalas.
George Costanza? Oh. Telly Savalas. Yeah, Telly Savalas. Telly Savalas has tits, though, Mom. Like, I mean, he might have been a sex symbol back then, but he's got straight-up tits. Like, you look at some of the covers from People, I believe, he's doing that move where he crosses his forearms, which I've had to resort to lately, where he kind of, like, like a woman would do that and put her balled-up fist under her cans and then mash them together.
I think you're far too sensitive to that sort of thing and too self-conscious. You have no idea what women respond to.
Sure, they respond to threats of physical violence. You go to prison afterward, but
yeah.
It works.
Really? And, you know, I mean, I'm sure they're not listening, especially Louie. Louie is gone. But I always tell you about my second cousins, Nick and Louie Chantillis.
Yes, tell us about Nicholas and Louie.
Little chunky brutes and always had the women. They just had some magnetic quality.
Yeah, but were they banging a bunch of fat pigs or?
No. Are you kidding? No, always the most attractive.
All right. Well, good for those two, whatever their names were. They were my blood, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. You know, but poor Louie, he loved to party. He actually never married, and he would go up to Dewey Beach because he was a dentist.
Isn't that the gay beach?
No.
Okay.
Anyway, he
That's
was
for
up
Hobbit.
There playing
never mind.
Football on shore and dropped dead of a heart attack. He drank big.
Oh. Huh.
Big-time drinker.
Wow.
Anyway, the sorry story of Louie, but a real gentleman. When I came back to the D.C. area.
That's depressing.
What?
That was a depressing culmination of that story.
But anyway, I don't forget about Telly Savalas.
That's one
laughing.
Person.
You know, I thought the same thing you thought about Paul McCartney. And, you know, he had a recent facelift, too.
Did he?
I noticed that the jowls are starting to fall again. Can't defy gravity.
Yeah, I mean, he looks better than John Lennon now. I'll give him that, but...
Yeah, he has that soft look. If you notice, all older women and older men almost look like the opposite sex. They start veering toward that middle ground when, you know, because...
Well, because the women, the hair goes, they all get that Napoleon Dynamite's grandmother haircut.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're not there yet. Give it five.
Anyway, but I died laughing with that. You know, I thought that was a good insight because that's what struck me doing. Oh, no. And, you know, he recently married Barbara Walters' cousin.
Who?
Paul McCartney. Going together for years.
Wait, this is the third one? The second one was one leg?
Mm-hmm.
And then the first was Harry Pitts?
He married this other one, and she's an attractive woman, kind of looks like an older version of Kate Middleton. And they both had recent facelifts, I'm sorry, right before their marriage. I noticed they both looked a little refreshed, as they like to say.
I mean, I guess good for him for not taking it to the ridiculous degree and just banging, like, 20-year-old Russians or something like that.
Yeah. But anyway.
All right.
But
well,
that was, you know, spot on, that impression you had. Okay.
Cool. I think it was an insight, not an impression, but not here to argue like a Jew lawyer with you.
All right.
Love you.
Bye-bye. Love
Bye. You. That was Mother Papa Giorgio, as I reach away from the microphone to hang up, because we have such an advanced setup in this studio. But yeah, we were talking about crappy movies, I think, before she called in. God bless her.
Yeah, so you're downloading flicks on HBO now. HBO.com, is that what it is?
Yeah, I've actually let Netflix, my baby, go for a while. I've been just doing HBO, which is, you know, $15 a month, and I'm not made of digital dollars here, so we're doing the HBO right now, and their service is a lot more rigid when it comes to dropping movies from it. Like it's a free thing that comes with an HBO subscription. You still get your HBO channels, and they don't offer just HBO Go, which would bypass the cable companies,
right?
And I could see how they could get real pissed real fast about that.
Yeah.
So HBO Go is an online companion, if you will, to an HBO subscription, where it's
nice.
Got
okay.
every one of HBO's shows they've ever aired, every episode of that. So
I can
go back and catch up on Samantha and Carrie and the redheaded Dave Foley lesbian and all of them.
Hey, can you do Dream On?
Oh, you know, I don't know if they have Dream On, actually.
Oh, I missed that
Christ,
show, yeah.
Why do you miss Dream? Dream On was the biggest piece of crap. And it was just there to show you, like, early 90s Starlets cans.
That's you got to realize how old I was in the early 90s.
That's what
like,
I'm saying.
It blew my mind
that
was a sitcom.
Yeah, it was nothing but sex. I mean, it was like Spanish television taken to the next level. Dream On, though, I don't recall that actually being funny. I don't know if they have Larry Sanders actually either on it. I might
have
to.
Oh, my gosh. That would just
ooh.
Be perfect.
I know Larry Sanders is on Netflix, though, if you actually want to watch the best show ever made. Anyone who argues that point sounds like a simpleton.
No, I think it is a shame people don't recognize how good that show was.
It was just as good as it gets. That was the pinnacle of humor as far as I'm concerned. But HBO Go's got movies, too. Not just the five movies that the HBO channels are airing right now over and over. Like, I think you've got Deathly Hallows Part 2 airing every hour on the hour between the four HBOs. And they've got a bunch of crap that also is not there. So I've been going through that catalog, and I found a few gems and a few stinkers.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, what's the quality? Is it, like, just a bunch of Gremlins 2-type movies? Or
85% is going to be your Gremlins 2 content.
All right.
I am currently making my way through Back to the Future Part 3.
Nice.
If you want an idea of both the you know, recency of the movies and how many sequels deep we go. All right. Terminator 3 will be next on the docket, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Definitely got a Trinity thing going right now. Yeah. But I've try to weave my way through a couple that were getting yanked July 31st. Because instead of doing things with my life, I'm like, I have to see these movies before they go. Because
this is urgent.
This regret will haunt me for the rest of my life. Like, if I don't see Body Heat before it gets pulled in 3 days, a movie that, like, as time moves on, fewer and fewer people who have seen it even live, like... No one my own age knows what the hell this film is. Only I do, because I am some sort of, like, halfway to an autistic. That's going to gnaw at me like a cancer. So I did watch Body Heat, which, by the way, is directed. It was a 1981 film directed by, I think, Lawrence Kasdan, the guy who did Empire Strikes Back.
Right. Oh, okay.
I think it was the movie after Empire. And it's the film debut of Kathleen Turner. This is literally her first film ever. And the bitch cannot get more naked in it. Just naked, nonstop, thin, wispy white woman screwing, I think, William Hurt. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's one of those Jeff Daniels things where Bill Pullman, Bill Paxton, where they all jumble together,
right.
You know. And you would think, as far as women go, and they all, Father Time gets them all. Don't get me wrong. You get married and you're going at it for the long haul. There will come a time you will turn to your lovely young bride that you lifted the veil on, and she had the face of an angel. And you will look at that and just think to yourself, I would rather kiss the ultimate warrior right now. You are disgusting.
That is actually what Kathleen currently looks like.
Lately. Anyways, just, you can try to mitigate that for as long as possible by taking into consideration certain, I would say, risk factors. Like, if a chick is built like a brick ass house right now, she's 36, 24, 36, the instant she has her first kid, that's it. It's over, Johnny. Like, she will kind of pull it back together out of the 80 baby pounds she gains. She will shave off 40 for that second kid. And then it's really over. I mean, at that point, it is just a hot dumpster fire for the rest of your life. That's it. And if you're being faithful, that is the sex you get to have the rest of your life. And I'm not saying you are a prized pig in this equation, but you are certainly not just going to hell that quickly. It's not a one-year interval when your body betrays itself.
I mean, this is the great moral dilemma that many men face and wind up just deciding every 15 to 20 years to get a replacement wife. Like, this is a increasingly common practice in our society. So.
Which is stupid, really, because it's like...
It seems to me to just compound your misery. Like, I think that's why it's a bad idea.
It's like if you have blood chock full of full-blown AIDS... And you go into, like, they can, in this hypothetical, they can oil change your blood pretty much. And you're going into the station, and it's like, hey, do you want fresh blood? And it's like, no, I want AIDS blood, just not so AIDS-y. Like, it'll re-AIDS itself in 15 years. It'll be easily as AIDS-y as what I'm taking out of me right now. But, you know, no, nothing pure. Get me that AIDS. And they're like, okay, are you sure? And you're like, yeah, yeah, I like that AIDS. That's what getting a second wife is, when you ditched like a 50-year-old wife and you get like a 32-year-old wife. What do you expect to happen?
See Paul McCartney.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to lift up that veil 20 years ago. Maka, I love you. You're the best. So Kathleen Turner, if you were marrying Kathleen Turner, body era 81, you're looking at this skinny, waspy lady, and you're thinking, all right, there's going to be a day this isn't so good, but that's got to be 30 years from now. This chick is, if nothing else, going to stay skinny. She might get a touch jowly.
I'm saying late 80s, she was still looking pretty good to me.
Yeah, War of the Roses era Kathleen Turner is not bad. So you've gone from age, I want to say, 31 to 39. Now, if I'm marrying a chick and you're telling me it's all going to end in 30 at age 39, that's 8 years from where I am right now. Like, I don't know about you guys, but as I get older, years seem like less and less. You know, when you're six and you're like, all right, I'm six, I'm waiting for my seventh birthday. That represents 1/6 of my current life. Right. And I really wasn't like even together for about 4 or 5 of those years. I kind of don't remember the baby years. So really about 1/3 of what I was conscious for, that's what this weight is. Now it's like you've had so many years under your belt. Like I go through, I'm flipping through movies and it's like, that was made in 03. Are you kidding me? I thought that was maybe 3.5 years ago that came out. So if you're telling me I've got that 3 years ago perception of like 8, 9, 10 years, and that's all the good I've got with a woman, that's going to go by like that. That's nothing. So Kathleen Turner, even if you're saying, well, you had 30 to 40, that's a bad deal. You would walk into a Kathleen Turner marriage because she doesn't have the most sick body. Like she never had much up top and she had flat white girl ass. And you would just gamble that she was going to stay skinny. And now this is an extreme example, but Kathleen Turner is like blonde snooky now.
Well,
she's disgusting. Like she gets roles. Do you remember her big return to network TV? Or I don't know if it was a return.
I try to block it out. It was just her voice was deep and scary, and she was just herself, huge.
She was on Friends playing Chandler's dad as a post-op tranny. And the role fit like a glove.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my gosh, yeah.
She did that, and you're like, there is nothing else she's going to do.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And after that, I want to say, all I've seen her in, she was maybe an agent to David Duchovny's friend on Californication. The bald Jewish
cat.
She
was fantastic in that, though, I got to say.
Yeah,
she played that
she
role
was funny,
so well.
But he, if you remember him, is the bald, ugly Jewish dude from Sex and the City. And she kept trying to bang him. And the whole gag was, he was so much better than her that it was disgusting. She was making advances on him.
Yeah.
And we are 30 years removed, if that, probably 25 years removed when that episode was recorded from Body Heat.
When you put it that way, it's actually really depressing.
Where she is the most sensual thing. Like, if you watch Body Heat, they've tried to make the sexiest. There is not a sweatier movie than Body Heat. Everyone is soaked through in every scene. Pit sweat, like nipples sweating through white tops. It's just raw sensuality. And 25 years later, she's hitting on a fat bald cat, and it is an object of abject disgust.
It's absolutely that.
It's meant to be the grossest thing ever. Like it's supposed to be comical. She's so beneath this big fat pig.
Yeah.
That it's comical. She's trying to screw him. That's 25 years.
Yeah.
That's not even like a lifetime.
Hey, maybe we're looking at this the wrong way. I mean, like, based on our current weight, I'm gonna say that I suspect she eats pretty well. So maybe this is somebody that you'd wanna like have feeding you for like 25 years. Like if she's going downhill, at least you're gonna be pleasantly fed.
I mean, why not get a chef, dude?
Yeah.
Like,
no, that's true.
Would you look at like your big fat male auto mechanic and be like, he knows how to take care of a car. I'll let him bang me. I want to marry him.
Do you know how much car repair costs these days?
Well, hey, I mean, it's going to save money. You know, if you live in one of those states, go for it. But it's not a rationale you should be applying to, like, if you're in that frame of mind where it's like, I'm limiting myself to one sex partner for the rest of my life, then you've just got to do this mental inventory of, like, what is at least going to keep this from being, you know, just the most horrible experience of my life, like sticking my junk into a funhouse. What can we do here? And she would have just been one of those safe gambles. You watch Body Heat, you got like 2 more days on HBO Go to catch Body Heat. You would see that and be like, it doesn't get much safer than that. But no, you would have gambled so wrong.
All right. Well, I got to challenge you on this, though.
Okay.
Because, like, I think your focus has been a woman of a particular race not known for holding up across the decades.
You know, everyone argues that certain races hold up better than others. They all look gross in their old way after a while. Like, it's just how you want it. Like, white chicks look wrinkly. I'm trying to think. Asian chicks kind of just get the random facial hair.
I'm just saying, black don't crack, right? You gotta...
Black chicks, on average, are going to age better, like, in the face. They can get randomly massive. Like, not that anyone else can't. I mean, Kathleen Turner has proven that. But I think you've got a bit more of a chance of that. And just, like, weird areas getting massive. Like, maybe the rest will stay normal, but the ass will just get gigantic. And I like a gigantic ass.
I was going to say, like, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, but, like, comedically gigantic. Like, R. Crumb drew it. You know what I mean? Like, it gets weird after a while.
I think it's all the more comedic if, like, that's standing next to me. Like, I'm skinny as crap, so.
Yeah.
Like, I just think... All the better.
Like, I could just see you walking through, like, downtown Harlem with that on your arm and just pulling it off because everyone's turning to gander.
I'm going to have those platform shoes with the goldfish.
Goldfish, yeah, exactly. After you take your Pimp of the Year award home. I need to watch that movie as an adult again. I had no idea watching I'm Gonna Get You Sucka what pimp even meant. Like, it was just...
Oh, really?
It was that and the word ghetto that I just knew meant something funny. Yeah. Like, they would put the word pimp up on screen. I'm like, ah! Yeah. Pimp! Like, I had no idea it was a man who, like, beat women to keep them in line so they would be sexually subservient to him and anyone else he brought into their life. And then he would take their money. And he was, like, a horrible piece of ass, actually. Like, as a kid, I'm just like, pimp. You go, pimp. Make me laugh. And again, same with the ghetto. Like, I learned there was an Elvis song called In the Ghetto when I was 12.
Yeah.
I'm just like, Elvis is in on the ghetto joke, too. Ghetto, hilarious. Was it Everything's Gonna Be All Right by Naughty by Nature? They had, at the end, it's like, if you ain't ever been to the ghetto, stay the F out of the ghetto because you wouldn't understand the ghetto. I forget how the breakdown
Yeah, no,
goes.
Something like that. That's not bad. Not bad for a white guy.
I haven't heard the song in like 20 years or something, too. But Will and I would just repeat that to each other, like, over the dinner table, like, eating our nuggets, dipping them into our macaroni and cheese. It's like, hey, Will, if you ain't ever been to the ghetto, stay the F out of the ghetto. And we would just laugh. Like, it was the most cerebral, perfectly timed joke we'd ever uttered. And now I just know the ghetto is this horrible, depressing place that, like, you try to escape with all your might before you fall into it.
Now you have to work there.
Yeah, exactly. Now I spend my elder years driving around and good old DC.
But occasionally finding out your clients are closed that day because there's another body behind.
Oh, yeah. That one bank I used to work at where you would have to get buzzed in to go in because they needed to screen the robbers out. And on average, they're finding a corpse per week in the dumpster behind it. Yeah.
God bless DC in the 1990s.
Oh. Well, that was in the 90s. In the 80s, before cell phone technology, my dad was summoned by his customers via pager. And he said every phone booth he would go in, outside of like a 4-block radius around the White House where they tried to keep it nice, you would just smash down on a bunch of syringes underfoot. Like, you would just hear all this crinkling glass under your feet. Yeah. So at least we got the cells now.
Man.
Yeah, no, that was a hardcore, scary place.
I try to explain to people who are new here, like, DC's a little different. Because, you know, a lot of them are still kind of scared. They're like, hey, this place is a little scary when you go to Southeast. I'm like, well, you should have seen it 20 years ago.
Yeah, it was... I'm trying, like, when I was a teen and going with my dad into D.C., it still had its scary moments. And one time I remember going to a concert, maybe I was seeing Ministry or some crap like that, and this is maybe 94, 95, and we were driving in, getting driven in, because I was under 16, and there's just, like, this image I won't forget, man. There was just a car on fire, like, on a street, and just people walking around it, like, nothing big about that. Right. Just kids, you know, dribbling their basketball right past it, because why wouldn't a car be on fire on a street? I mean, it looked like an occupied city. That was the vibe I got. It was a toilet.
And just talking to people who have been here for a while, like, I went to a Nationals game with some alumni for, like, University of Illinois. Mm-hmm. And I just remember meeting some people who've been here, like, 20 years. And they were talking, like, people with PTSD about, like, their disbelief at how good the neighborhood around the new baseball stadium is. Because, like, back in the day.
Chappelle does a bit on that, where he was, like, going on about 80s and then the crack epidemic in D.C., where he's just did an impression of white people with binoculars looking across the Potomac. It's like, nope, they're still messing it up.
No,
and
like,
Chappelle,
I mean,
white voice.
It's just stunning. You go to the new baseball stadium, and it's just like, oh my gosh, like, what did they do?
I guess you can walk around at least a couple blocks around the stadium.
Yeah.
And that was right in Anacostia, just an old school death factory, which, by the way, they've just pushed all that crime into PG.
PG
County,
is now,
which,
like,
borders.
Insanely unsafe.
Yeah. And PG is weird because a lot of affluent black people used to live in PG, or they still do, I guess.
But they have to do, like, economic segregation.
Yeah. Like, and it's like, I think it's for black people the highest income per person, like, in the country in PG County, but it's also becoming this murder capital as well.
Yeah, no, it's weird. There's these massive economic disparities from community to community in PG. It's crazy. And their police are just intense. Like,
well,
have you heard of, like, the raids that they've put on? Just, like, they have these accidental drug raids on people's homes, apparently.
Oh, when I was in the foreclosing people business, I remember doing houses in PG, and that was hardcore. Like, I would break into people's houses when they weren't home and find, like,
oh, man,
machetes and pipes and stuff like that behind the door. Like, had I gone at the wrong time, I would have got, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
I'd be running this board with one arm. It's funny to laugh about it because I'm not dead.
Yeah. No, that's... All I can think of is like, oh, man, I'm so glad you don't do that anymore.
Yeah, not so much. I used to break into some really bad houses, man, like squatters and stuff in there. Probably just raping the neighborhood kids.
Right, yeah.
But what else are you going to do if you're a squatter? It's a boring life. Not much for job opportunities. Why not rape the neighborhood kids? Speaking of raping kids, and women that age well. See, not one, but two things tying into this next HBO Go film. Scott Pilgrim versus the World?
Haven't seen it, actually. Regret to inform.
Ooh, you guys got to see Scott Pilgrim. Scott Pilgrim has two flaws with it. The first being Michael Cera's the star.
I'm okay with that, actually.
Oh, he's so one speed.
He is one speed.
He is just Michael Cera in every film. I'm just going to talk like this, and really, that's, yeah.
I thought that's kind of the role, though, isn't it? It seems like it would work with the previews I've seen. It basically is just like they made this movie for this kid.
No, it was a comic.
I know, but
like
they basically wrote the movie script to fit his character acting.
To quote Pesci describing Spider, you could put any mumbling, stumbling prick in that role, and he's going to do fine. I mean, you really think you can't dig up another guy who obviously has confidence because he's in such a cutthroat industry but can feign not having it? I was like, oh, I'm just going to mush mouth for a while.
I think that's why people like him, though. He actually does look like someone who doesn't really have confidence. Why would you get somebody who is...
But you know he's a fraud. You know he's a fraud. It's the same way, like, you watch a porno, and there's a librarian with 40 double Fs, and, like, her, you know, she has these barely, like, these empty frame glasses on. I know you're a whore. You're not a librarian. Drop the pretenses. Let's just cut to the action here. That's how I feel about Michael Cera. Like, you're not fooling anyone. Like, he must be the biggest dick off camera. There's nothing. I think there's nothing legit about that guy. I think, like, Master P looks at him and he's like, wow, what a loudmouthed ass.
Like, do you know anything about him off camera? Like, I don't really follow gossip for Hollywood.
No, he
much,
has
but...
none. I'm sure his entire life is just banging girls that think he's the sweetest, meekest thing. Like, he just tears through them like diarrhea.
That may or may not be true. All I know about him is, like, he's apparently fiscally responsible compared to, like, most Hollywood stars.
If I were Michael Cera, I would buy a nice house. I would hook up a bunch of old video game systems. My entire rap would be girls getting in touch with me via Facebook, Twitter, whatever, and be like, oh, hey, cool, you seem different than the other girls. It would just be a script. You seem different. I'm glad, you know, I'm in L.A., and everyone's so shallow here, so I'm glad I'm meeting someone of substance, and you're into the same quirky crap I am. Would you like to come to my house and play, like, Sega, like Sonic the Hedgehog on an actual Sega Genesis? You are leaving my house 6 hours later, like, clutching your underwear and bald, you know, in your hand to blot the tears from your eyes. And that's it. I'll never talk to you again. That would just be it. I would go through 3 to 4 girls a day, inviting them over for juice boxes, like keeping it as innocent sounding as possible. It would cut to the sex within 30 minutes. They would have no idea what happened. Maybe I wouldn't even put in the like retro video gaming BS part. I would literally just say, like, oh, I'm stuck on this level in Halo, come over. And they would watch me play, like, the game I'm currently on, like, a new game. Like, no retro appeal. I've dropped that pretense. So a girl just comes by, watch me play his video games. It's like, hey, you want to go to bed? Just in my stupid little mush mouth voice. Like, hey, you know, if I really like you, maybe you just want to go to bed with me for a bit. We can listen to this really cool vinyl I have, Raw Power, Iggy and the Stooges. And then you're banging them.
And why do you fault him for that shtick? Like, what is actually wrong with that?
Because it's just predatory in the wrong way. Like, I like to think as bad as I get is what I put out there. Like, this is me at my worst. You meet me in real life, I'm not this big a dickhole. So I resent anyone. Like, Jerry Seinfeld was the same way. And Howard Stern used to always harp on this.
He's
like,
definitely that way, yeah.
He was like, you know what? And in the end, screw Howard. He got divorced and married some blonde bim, so whatever.
Yeah.
But he would always fault Jerry because everyone thought Jerry was the best damn dude on earth. And in actuality, Jerry was just like punching up girls from model catalogs. Literally, you would take a Facebook from like the Ford agency and be like, send up number 62 tonight. And he'd bang that out. But you think of Jerry as like the smiling, clean guy. And Howard Stern is the big gaping anus.
Yeah, this is random, but like, it was so obvious to me Seinfeld was a bad person because he just kept recycling Goyim. To me, I was offended for Jewish people that here you have a man who is single-handedly ruining like the American Jewish community by like,
what,
just
on the show? Because in real life, I thought he banged a lot
all
of Jewish
the above.
Chicks.
Oh, I thought he was a...
Well, he had two famous relationships. He has the chick he's married to now, a Jewish broad.
Eventually,
like
he went straight, yeah.
But the only other one I remember that he was with for a while was a 17-year-old broad named Shoshana Lowenstein. And she became a lingerie designer later. That chick had torpedoes. And he used to talk about, like, he loved watching her do her homework and crap like that.
Oh, wow. That's
and he weird. Was probably 35 at that point.
Yeah, I guess you're talking about his relationships. Yeah,
in New York, I think age of consent is 16.
Okay.
Like, I'm not an actual, like, chicken hawk, so I don't know if, like, you could be federally busted for banging a 16-year-old because they're not 18, or if, like, the state's age of consent really is the be-all, end-all, depending on where you live. I don't know. I don't go to websites for that crap. I grew out of it. No. I like how I said that, and neither of you missed a beat. You're like, okay. Glad you grew out of that, John. No, So I guess 17 was legal in New York because there's a Rick James song called 17 where he's singing about banging a chick who's barely legal.
Does he actually sing about banging her? I thought he brings her home and then he doesn't have sex with her is the point because she was wise beyond her years. That's what I thought the theme of that song
was. She
was
17, and she was sexy. Yeah,
He was an admirer and he was trying to like guide her through the next stage of life, which will involve banging a lot of guys like Rick James. I'm pretty sure.
I remember...
Like, not to get philosophical about Rick James's lyrics, but I'm pretty sure what that is
well,
about.
Well, whether or not he stuck it, the important line is he screams near the end, she's almost jailbait. Which means 17 is legit in New York.
It never even like struck me that I thought he was not having sex with her in that song because it was illegal, but you make a good point. He really was being discreet. Yeah.
Well, no, it's totally cool because that movie, oh, crap, which is the one Woody Allen did with Margot Hemingway? Whichever one didn't blow her head off.
Crap, I don't remember.
Yeah, Manhattan something. Maybe it was Manhattan. I don't know. But he was. It's this whole story about how he's banging a 17-year-old after getting out of a relationship. Like, that's just cool in New York, apparently.
That's pretty cool in Europe, too. I mean,
in
that
Britain
respect,
at 16
very,
as well. Yeah, because there's a great show called Peep Show, and one episode is about a guy just banging a high schooler and how weird it is.
Yeah, like my ex, actually, she was in Belgium when she was 16, and she said it was pretty common at her high school for, like, the other high school kids to be dating 30-year-olds, and their parents didn't even flinch.
Ew.
And it's just like, eh, don't get pregnant.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. That would be weird to me, man.
I find that weird, too. Yeah, I got to say, even though we were in, like, the proper age range to go have a good time in Belgium, like, it's a little strange to me. So
people don't know their ass from their elbow at that age.
Right.
Like, I don't want to be queering up our airwaves here, but I'd like to think I can have a talk with someone before we get to it.
It's like that. Do you remember that movie Kids where, like, they just have that disturbing scene where the guy's talking about banging a 13-year-old?
And I've actually never seen Kids.
It's really disturbing because, like, I think the 16-year-old having
she
sex
looks
with
like
a
she should be like modeling underoos or something. He pulls out a picture of her.
No, yeah, like, no. He said one time they had sex at her house, and then, like, she showed a picture of her from a year before, and it was like she was prepubescent a year before.
Yeah,
and he was like just laughing about it, like it's funny. The whole movie's just like
who was that?
It
was
there
that
to
telly?
Offend you, basically.
He was AIDSing everyone up.
I can't. Yeah, I think it's a weird movie, man. I can't say if it's.
I just know it has Rosario Dawson. That's all I care about.
Okay.
That's a good-looking woman. I like that one. But, yeah, Scott Pilgrim, the whole thing is he's chasing this chick named Ramona Flowers. And it's got this whole video game vibe to it. It's very tightly directed. I recommend it.
Okay.
You know what? I'll even highly recommend it.
Despite your disdain for Michael Cera, you're going to recommend
despite
it.
Despite Michael Cera being something of a smear, yeah, he doesn't screw this up all too badly. But the weird thing is he's chasing this chick who is mediocre looking, named Ramona Flowers, and the whole vibe is she's an alt girl. She's got the weirdly colored hair. Alternative from what, you may ask, but that's her vibe. I just don't even get me off of the whole suicide girl thing. It's like you take a broad who would be hot, and you give her a shoulder tattoo, and suddenly she's all kinds of different. Whatever. Did you grow a third Total Recall tit?
Yeah.
Then you're just a woman. Whatever.
I gotta ask, like, do you think that the third titted woman is gonna be in the new, like, remake of Total Recall?
How did you softball me that? I was literally, that was going to be a topic for the show. She's in it. I've got pictures of her.
Oh, great. I think I have to see it, man.
Not
I gotta
with the third one bared, but she's a good looking woman.
Hey, Kate Beckinsale's, like, actively hunting, what's his name? In this movie, right? Like, she's the active. She has a much more active role than
Kate Beckinsale. I thought she was the Melina. Like, wasn't that the, when they're knocking out Arnold, it's like, do you like them light or dark? Dark. And do you like them classy? Sleazy? Sleazy. And
okay.
That was Melina, the dark and sleazy chick.
Okay. I couldn't tell
which
her
is great
role.
Because he actually does like them dark and sleazy. Look at the matey banged.
Yeah.
Should have been like, do you like them attractive? Or with a gorilla face? Gorilla. Want to screw King Kong. But so I think Kate Beckinsale is the Melina role. I don't think she's the Sharon Stone, the wife who tries to kill him.
Okay. I was hoping she was
spoiler
playing
alert
Sharon Stone.
For a movie from 1993 or 92. I don't even know when Total Recall came out. Sharon Stone tries to kill Arnold.
No,
in Terminator, Arnold is actually a robot sent back in time to kill Sarah Connor. And her unborn son.
Are you Sarah Connor?
Like, just talking about that movie, I want to go back and watch it now. It's on HBO Go. Just want to work my way 1 to 3. But finishing up the Scott Pilgrim yapping.
All right.
The problem with it, you've got this boring-ass Ramona Flowers, who, like, you do, but eh. And Scott's just fiending over her. Like, she's the coolest chick on earth because she wears boots.
And you don't buy it?
Just get the hell out of here with it. You know, if I'm going to be all into a girl, at least give her bigger breasts. But he craps all over this girl who falls in love with him named Knives Chow. And she's this pretty cute Asian chick. I don't have, like, raging yellow fever or anything, but she's a cute little girl. But they make her 17. And so the whole problem with it is they keep putting her out there is like, oh, look at her. She cuts her hair. She looks sexy. And then she's like fighting in a miniskirt, and that's really sexy, but she's actually still a little kid. And she's like having to sneak out of her house because, you know, she's a kid. And it just really make her 18. What the hell, man? Like, I get it. His life isn't so together, so he's banging jailbait, which I forget what little area of – I think they're in Canada.
I'm not sure
on that one. But check that out.
What else have you been like worried about expiring on HBO Go?
Well, the one I got through last night. I'm glad you asked, Howard. Thank you for that. See, this is how you play ball on air, people. This is how you keep me going. You want to be a Papa's Basement co-host, that's how it works. I watched the biggest affront to Star Trek I've ever seen last night. And I'm not a huge Star Trek geek. I've seen every episode of the first one once because they put it on Hulu back when, like, Hulu was free.
That's impressive. I haven't done that.
I was working in radio, and so I would just sit there and crush these episodes while I was working. And I've seen a decent amount of Next Generation. Not all of them, by any means. But I saw Generations, which kind of takes the worst of both worlds and smashes them together. For those of you unfamiliar with Star Trek Generations, it was the first movie with the cast of The Next Generation.
It spelled doom for any possible enjoyment that I could have in Next Generation movies, because that was a terrible first foot forward.
Yeah, it really, really was bad. And it was the last movie starring Leonard Nimoy, and I think Spock had actually peaced out, as did Bones. Like, at that point, they're just like, we're done with this.
Absolutely sour taste.
It was few of the original guys. God bless that old whore, William Shatner, because he came in for it, and Fat F. Scotty did, and the Russian.
Oh, Chekhov?
Chekhov.
Yeah.
Pavlov, Chekhov, whatever the hell his name was. He was in for it, too. And then they get some random Asian girl, and they're like, that's Sulu's daughter. And I'm like, dude, that's kind of racist, even. Like, they don't even look alike. They're just like, there's that Asian broad. And it's just so funny because, you know, Sulu's gay as hell in real life. So it's like, who are we fooling? And the worst part is the horrible way, because me, I'm a Shatner fan. Like, as much as I respect Picard, I just love Shatner because every solution to Shatner in the original Star Trek was banging his way out of it. It was always like a decent looking woman who was kind of their captor. And the whole bit was, well, I'm going to seduce the bitch. Spock, you get the keys and we're out of here. And it was just like he was crushing SpaceX. I love it when a guy's in charge sexually. That's the best thing ever.
Yeah, he dominated the Alpha Quadrant.
Like, exactly. Yeah. He was just awesome at it. And, like, there was never any doubt. It was like, maybe she's not your type, Captain. You know, he would just laugh it off. It's like, I've got an inner tube around my gut and my nice rug. You know, it's she's going to fall for it. So they've got my favorite captain, Shatner, in there 5 minutes. And then he apparently dies. Like, he's sucked out into space.
He takes one for the team, right?
Yeah, he runs down and, yeah, he dies in a heroic fashion, pretty much saving the entire ship from going down, which, to me, pretty easy choice to make, right? You know, do you want to just be like, hey, it's not me. I'll die with you guys. I don't want to die alone. That sounds boring. A little scary. But so he sprints and does the heroic thing and saves everyone. Turns out he's sucked into a wormhole. And they bring him back. You're like, holy F. Thank God. My Kirk, my beloved James Tiberius Kirk, still alive. He's alive for 5 more minutes. And then they kill him again. They're not, like, happy. They should bring him back again and kill him a third time after the credits are done. That's how insulting his second death was. Like, it's just this, they bring him back, and he's, like, on some unstable platform, and it falls, and you cut to him, and it's like the blood isn't even good. They just smeared it on, like, Bela Lugosi blood makeup circa 1932 or whenever the hell those movies came out. It looks like hell. It's the most insulting ending ever.
Yeah, here's what bothers me about it. I mean, they were trying to make a literal handing of the torch from, like, the original series to the Next Generation.
Totally makes sense. Why kill Kirk? He's made it through so many unlikely things, like universes collapsing in on themselves.
All the things to kill
him. And it's like
him.
The fat F can't jump 10 feet off a platform, and that's what kills him.
Yeah.
And he's just sitting there with his paunch out, And oh, he has like a dumb last line. Like, I think he's dying. And then he opens his eyes and just goes, oh my. And then dies again. And I'm like, God damn it. Really? That's how they take out the man.
When you look at like the death of Khan and the death of Spock, like these are major moments in the Star Trek world. You know, like these are.
They were killing him the way they kill off a piece of ass in a James Bond film, where it's like, oh, yes, we've got 6 minutes left. We got to do this,
dude,
man.
That's perfect, because it really is like the George Lazenby Bond movie where like they marry Bond off at the end and they just like kill off his wife. It's kind of like that. It's disgusting. It ruins the...
It is so perfunctory. It is just like a Bond girl where it's like, oh, James, we're going to be together. What hit the back of your neck, dear? Oh, it's a little dart.
But that character was just such an icon of the 60s and into the 70s and 80s. And even the 90s, like Final Frontier, right? That's the one. Wait. Undiscovered Country. That's when he gets with Vanessa Williams, where you're like, damn, Shatter can still get it done.
Exactly. I don't know. Just Generations was horrible. I am so sad I watched that. We need to punch the hell out of here. Hold on. Let me flawlessly lean over and play my outro music. And by that, I mean I winked twice and gave the signal to my board op and told him to play our outro music. Shahir, thanks for hopping in, buddy. And Howard, thank you for joining up.
It's been real day. Yeah.
I, of course, am John Papagiorgio. I can be reached at Papa's Basement on Twitter. The show's website's inpapasbasement.com. I don't even think I mentioned that in the intro, but inpapasbasement.com if you want to get a hold of us. There's a caller right now. You know what? Screw you, caller. Call in anytime except for the last 3 minutes I let you on. Go to inpapasbasement.com to find the Facebook link, which is just facebook.com/papasbasement. Really clever like that. And until next week, we are out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb.